This side of the tape is an interview with Norm Paget, P-A-G-G-E-O-T, who lives out at on Grant Street near the Grand River, way out on the east end of town. It was on June 1st, 1992, at Norm's home. Norm was a very interesting fellow, as you will hear as the interview develops. He is one of the early pilots and those interested in flying in the Grand Haven area. Remembers well the old airfield over in Ferrisburg, and was very involved in the moving of that interest in aviation over to the present site of the airport. The tales that he has to tell about his parachute jumping and his flying episodes is absolutely fascinating. He takes them very nonchalantly. But when you consider, this was a time when parachutes were not a very common thing in aviation, and certainly a person jumping out with a bat suit attempting to fly was something that was almost one of a kind. So let's pick up the interview. Well, you've lived out here a while, is that right?
Oh, I've been out here ever since I've been in Grand Haven. It'll be 20 years this summer.
Huh.
Yeah. But before that, I was downtown.
You know? Yeah, of course, yeah.
Then I went outside.
Yeah, right.
Out of, I bought that store out on 46.
Sure.
In fact, I still got... Hey, you might be interested in... Oh, yeah, I'll bring on a store.
Okay, good. Okay. Evergreen Stables.
Yeah, it's just below the airport.
Okay.
The airport was didn't have the runways in yet.
Okay. No. Still grass runway.
Well, they were working on it and this and that. I landed there before while they were working on it. JB claimed he landed there too. But I never seen him.
What is this one now?
Oh, I don't know what the hell that is.
Okay, Norm Paget wins trip to Europe.
Yeah.
Sponsor, a Westinghouse sponsored tour. Sales of...
Now I sold the most Westinghouse in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
That's when television first started out.
Did you take the trip to Europe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Where was this?
Oh, I didn't know the two of them went together.
Yeah. Oh, this is the Ferrisburg Post Office. Al Strebe looks over the new surroundings. My gosh, that's quite a paper.
Yeah.
53. I know where that post office is. It's over in Ferrisburg still.
Oh, yeah.
They moved it out behind a person's lot. You never fixed that plate up, did you?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, it was totally...
Yeah, but it broke my heart to lose it.
Yeah.
You know what I paid for that?
What kind was it, a Cub?
Cub three.
A J3.
J3. Mm-hmm.
Probably paid. I can see right here $1,000.
Well, it was $625.
Is that right? I did that. So fell for
10, 12.
Oh yeah, easily. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're writing a book, huh?
Well, yeah, I hope to someday.
Uh huh.
Yeah. But I saw Jack. Brewer.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I need to get some information about the airport. He said, well, there's only one guy to talk to. That's Norm Paget, because he lived it.
Yeah.
And he said, you guys used to be the daredevils of the skies around here.
Well, I didn't have a lot of jumping in.
Did you really?
I rode balloons here in Grand Haven, and then I used to race motorcycles.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into flying.
But you, from motorcycles?
Well, from jumping, actually I went from motorcycles into balloons.
Yeah.
Then from balloons into jumping from planes, yeah. And then I started flying planes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So.
Now when was this? What year would it have been that you were jumping?
Oh, it had to be back in the 30s. I soloed in 27. So it was about 25, 26, in the early 20s. Quite that. I'm 82, you know.
Yeah. But were you making your own parachutes? Or
we made our own. Mm-hmm. Huh. We used to time on the V of the landing gear and crawl out of the cockpit, down on the wheel, and we had safety link. Come up the cockpit. So you stood up, you hooked the safety on, so you really couldn't fall.
Yeah.
You crawled down underneath and hang a trapeze underneath.
Yeah.
And then when he got ready to jump, he was a boss, that and the pilot was. When he got over where he wanted to jump, he dipped the nose down to get the tail out of the road.
Uh-huh.
And you cut loose and the chute come back and open up.
Be darned. So you didn't have a pack?
No.
I
didn't come out to it. Well, actually, World War II.
Is that right?
When I got popular, the Irving and stuff like that. I got a lot of recommendations from that.
From what?
From jumping days.
Oh, yeah. And did you, for advice, you mean? You had to give advice for...
No. I mean, I got pictures or ads, you know.
Okay.
Norm Padgett, the Hawkman, you know, going to jump from 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
You know, the garbage. I kept a lot.
But you, of course, you never could have a practice. Although, yeah, you can have a practice jump nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
But you couldn't back then, could you?
No, you couldn't have a practice jump. You would go up in a balloon, and that's about as safe as you can ask for.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, it's like falling out of a rocket chair, really.
Yeah.
The first jump I ever made was at... what they call the park out to Muskegon. Circles.
The one that circles? The one that between North Muskegon and Muskegon?
No, right at Muskegon. As you go out to the piers at Muskegon.
Oh, Pier Marquette Park.
It is now, but it used to be Sunset Circles or something.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
And there used to be a bowling alley there and a dance hall and a Ferris wheel and some minor stuff. And so I went up there, but I landed in front of the paper mill because the wind was that way. Boat picked me up, took me back. And that was the first jump.
I'll be there. And you really, did you know how to control it at all?
Oh, no.
You just were lucky.
You know, the Coast Guards, they used to burn the Coast Guard up, you know. They get all cleaned up and get their whites on, you know, and their boat all clean and nice, and they had to go out in the damn lake and pick up a dirty, smoky old balloon and a and a jumper, you know. Oh, they used to get out. It left their boat filthy. After they burned it. Used to burn them up.
The balloon came down, too?
Oh, yeah. See, there's about a 10-pound bag of sand hooked to the top of the balloon, and it hangs down. Oh, about halfway.
Oh, my.
Well, now your weight holds the balloon upright.
Uh-huh.
My weight's 170, I guess, at the time.
Uh-huh.
Holds the balloon upright, and it's bigger at the top. But just as soon as you cut loose, this bag tips the balloon over and dumps the heat and smoke, and it comes down in some farmer's field or, you know, most any place.
You guys, honestly, whoever devised that?
Oh, I don't know. They were jumping. I jumped here in Grand Haven once.
Out of a balloon?
Out of a balloon, yeah. We put it up down there by the, what they call the island now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember where I landed. But do you remember where the old Grand Haven Airport was?
Well, yeah, I've got a picture of it here, as a matter of fact. This is from a 1929 publication. And that shows it over in Ferrisburg.
Yeah, the tanks are there now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I lost a pair of chutes there. Remember, the hangar burned down.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember Lily Blad? He had a plane there.
Right.
And I don't remember Ray Swartz Ducky Swartz.
Okay, I've got a picture of him, too.
Have you?
As a matter of fact, a picture with the parachute lashed as you said it was.
Yeah, there it is. Uh-huh. I haven't seen a picture of Ducky in years.
There's some pictures on the backside of him, too. But that's the way you guys used to dress, in those white uniforms, or...
A long, long time ago.
Now, did you know that pilot, too? What's his name?
Ducky Swartz was the pilot.
Oh, he was the pilot. Who was the jumper?
Ducky Swartz is the guy that... he was a buddy to this Green. No, his name wasn't Green. The guy that dove through a house down on the harbor.
I thought that was Ducky.
No.
It wasn't Ducky.
No, it was a heavy set fella. If I remember his name, I'll call him.
But he drove right into the side of the house?
No, he was looking around up ahead and he lost it and went right straight down. It went through the top of the house. The motor went on down and hit the dining room table that the people left about 20 minutes before that. And the airplane stuck in there. There's pictures around yet of that plane, of that.
And he was killed or not?
No. He climbed out, climbed down, and drunker than us. Well, you know, he used to drink pretty heavy in those days.
And he was a drinker. He was drunk.
Yeah, he was an oil man here in town. I can't remember his name. I want to say Green. I remember it though.
Okay.
I thought about it several times.
Yeah. I've heard of that. I thought it was Ducky Swartz that did it.
No, it wasn't Ducky. No. Yeah, it wasn't him. It was this. He was an oil man here in town, a big oil man. And, the harder I try, the farther away it gets.
That was right down on the waterfront, wasn't it?
Well, it was on the house, on the hill there.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. He lost it and wound in and, the motor went down and went through the second floor.
He was lucky to have survived it.
Well, yeah, but the people down below were lucky too, because the motor smashed their dining room table down to the ground.
And when would that have been? In the 30s or 20s?
Oh boy, you got me now. That had to be in the early 30s.
Uh-huh. And I understand the house is still there.
Yeah, I think it is. I couldn't point it out to you today, but it's there yet, as far as I know.
And this fellow that... Red Robison.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's the guy that showed me how to pack a chute and how to put up a balloon. I went around by myself putting up balloons and jumping, you know. And just one guy and an inside man to work the balloon.
Uh-huh.
And... you had that funnel inside it. It's a 50-gallon barrel or a 30-gallon barrel inside and the sand around it to keep it from burning.
Uh-huh.
And you have to have an inside man with a cover. If you get sparks up there, a flame too high, he can slap the cover on.
Okay.
And he comes out looking like a nigger when he gets
one. Well, does he go down with the...
No, he sits right on the ground, and when we cut loose... When it cuts loose, when we got a harness, it comes from the whole bottom of the balloon, comes across the line, and I'm sitting here with a bar.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as they pull the rope that ties it off, they drive stakes in like that. They tie the balloon down to that. And then when they cut this rope loose, so the balloon takes off.
You're just hanging on.
You're just hanging on to a trapeze bar. You can't fall. You got a safety rope that's 3/4 inch thick. And it's hooked to your waist, but nobody can really see it. So I used to hang by my knees, hang by one hand and wave and all this and that. People thought, oh, Jesus, that's really something. You couldn't fall if I wanted to.
And you got paid for this, I hope.
Oh, yeah, I got $10.
Isn't that something? $10.
Well, I was working at Camel White in the core room in the winter months, and I think I was making something like... $16 a week. And back in 27.
Yeah.
Pretty rough.
Yeah, so for $10.
Yeah.
But you had to have your own, and the chutes were what, silk, I assume?
No, they were shirt goods. The blue denim shirts?
Yeah.
Well, you use that. It was blue denim material. I forget what the material's name is. But it was the same thing as blue denim. It was denim. And they just, you built the chute for the size of the guy, really. You know, you take, a 30-inch wide strip, and you cut it diagonally, clear to the other end. And then you sew those V patches together so that you got a regular chute.
Yeah.
And you run, on each seam, you got a riser, a line going up to it.
And that reinforces it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, it reinforces it. Get a hole in the top, let the air out. So, you know, if it was closed, the air couldn't get out. And then you'd set and rock.
Yeah.
That was quite a time. It's been a long time ago. So I got that. There you go. At a carnival.
Is that right? Now, how many were there of you? Robinson and yourself?
There was another guy. I can't remember his name. Bud Clark.
Okay.
Bud Clark, he learned from Robinson. And Robinson was a motorcycle dealer in Muskegon for the old Super X. I doubt whether you remember
that. No, I don't remember that.
It was the Super X thing. It was one of the smaller bikes. And he had this balloon business on the side. Well, then he finally wound up, and his wife jumped too. And he wound up, I really don't know why, but he went back to Grand Rapids and opened up another motorcycle shop. I guess business was too slow in Muskegon Heights. And he went back to Grand Rapids. And I've seen him out here at Grand Haven.
Is he still around?
Oh, not now. I doubt it very much. But
you saw him jump out here, you meant?
No, I'll tell you, one day I was putting on a demonstration, showing people off the back of a truck how a parachute really worked. You know, how you pull a cord and what happened. I said, now watch. I pulled the cord and the chute popped out, you know, and all this. And someone says, are you sure it works that way? And I turned around and see Red Robinson, you know. So I said, you get up here and tell these people about it. Don't talk to me. I said, there's the guy that taught me.
Now, where was Clark from? Was he from here?
He was from Muskegon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were the only Grand Haven, or were you living in Muskegon at the time?
I was living in Muskegon, Muskegon Heights, at the time.
Okay.
But I come to Grand Haven a lot because we had pictures a long time that I was taking on the pier way back in 25, 26, 27 on the pier out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to come over
here
a lot.
Yeah.
Because you catch a train, come over here and stop at the train station, you get off and... No,
there you were.
There you were.
Sure, yeah. Well, the plane, you see that plane right there?
Mm-hmm.
That corrugated metal, that looks like the Ryan, that Spirit of St. Louis.
No, that was built in Pentwater.
Oh, was it?
That was corrugated like that. It don't look like that one is that one either. It's only got one set of braces.
Uh-huh.
I think that's two sets.
It was a biplane.
It's a biplane.
Uh-huh.
But there's only one set of braces, and you got wires coming down here.
Yes.
Can't quite see them, but they're there. Yeah. OX5 engine. I still belong to the OX5 club.
Oh, I'll be darned. You sure do. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really all right. Where did you get this picture?
Hey, I don't know. I can't remember who gave it to me. I should have. Maybe I wrote it on the back. Can you read it? Yeah, you reach inside there and pick it out.
Oh, that's all right. Now, that's Ducky's horse when he was a lot longer. A lot younger.
Uh-huh.
1961. That can't be right.
I don't know.
I'm going to take these I think he died in 51 or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So. He was a sort of a construction man, and when they built the bridge up there, in the Straits.
Oh, yes.
He went all around the lakes here, and Superior and up, and the other four lakes, and he bought up all the barges. And he turned around and hauled them up to the Straits and leased them to the government to build a bridge up there. He made a fortune on it.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
And they had it up there.
Smart enough.
And then another thing about the Ducky Swords, too. He bought, remember when all the fish cutters were out here?
No.
On the channel.
There weren't too many left when I got here.
Well, there used to be 10, 15, 20 maybe. And Ducky had a brand new steel boat. I want to say it was 50, 55 feet long. And he went out in, I don't know where he went out, Lake Michigan. But he made the biggest whitefish catch of any boat in Lake Michigan. That was something like 750 pounds in one
wow.
net, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they used to lay six, 8 miles of nets, you know.
Yeah.
But he pulled in 750 pounds. And I think that's in the history books right now.
So he was a commercial fisherman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonder what the name of his boat was. He probably had several.
Oh, I don't know. No, the only one I know about is when he bought the new one.
Uh-huh, that steel hull room.
Yeah, it was a steel cabin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's the way you guys used to do it.
Yeah.
When I read that the parachute was tucked underneath the trigger, I thought to myself, well, I wonder, they're storing it there momentarily till he puts it on his back.
Oh.
But that isn't the way you
no,
did
you,
it.
No, you took your safety line, and you hooked it up on one of the wires from the wing, right at the wing.
Uh-huh.
So when you get ready to jump, you get into position or butt, ready to get into it. You unhook it there, snap it on your belt, and you got up, crawled on the front of the wing, stepped on the wheel, and then slid down under the chute. Because it was tied right to the V, hung from the V. Well, then you had a steel knife where the quarter-inch ropes went through. Just a hunk of steel with a hole in it and a hacksaw blade. It was sharp. You pull it through and bust it. Then it dropped. But the signal for you to cut loose was when he chopped the motor, dipped the tail up like that, and boom, away you went.
Now, how is the chute attached to you?
By trapeze. You sat on the trapeze.
Oh, okay.
And on that trapeze, it was an automobile steering wheel. And all the lines were hooked to that.
Okay.
And then trapeze was hung from that with a steel bar. You set on that, and your safety line was also hooked to that wheel, and that hooked to a motorcycle belt. So if you fell off, you couldn't, you couldn't do it. You couldn't hurt anything. You couldn't go anyplace.
Uh-huh.
But
still,
people didn't know that.
But this is when you're coming down, though. I'm talking about now. You're on the way down. You're on a trapeze.
You're on the trapeze. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you're jumping from a plane, and where you're going up, you're on the trapeze when from a balloon. You can hang by your knees or do whatever you want.
Okay.
Go
all
up,
right.
You know.
But an airplane, you say you sneak down, you climb down and get underneath the wheel.
Get underneath the wheel and get on the trapeze. And when you're all set, you bounce a couple times, you know how you can feel that in an airplane.
Yeah, right.
The signal that I was ready, you get into position and cut the motor a couple times, tell them to get ready.
Uh-huh.
And then pick up the tail and where you go. Yeah.
And the speeds were what? Probably 90 miles an hour.
Oh, I doubt it. Some long-winged eagle rock that I sold in, I think about 75, 70, something like that. OX5, 90 horsepower.
Yeah. And that was a biplane.
That was a biplane.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Boy, those were still some of the great old planes.
Oh, yeah. That's all we had.
Open cockpit.
Open cockpit. Yep. The, who was it? Some guys, Muskegon had the first closed one. A violin maker from Mayborn made an airplane for the closed cabin.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the guys that worked at the airport there took it up. Didn't work at the airport, so the airport wasn't there then. But he hung around with this violin maker, and he flew it, and it came apart, and you know where the float bridge is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crash right on one end of
the boy. Killed him.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. First cabin job that we had around here.
Wonder what the maker of that was.
Beebe. No, by name of Beebe, but no relation to the Beebe at Northside.
Okay.
But his name was Beebe. He made violins, and quite a bit of money, or made quite a bit of money, because he traveled down to Africa and down south, way down below, for special woods and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Okay.
He made some good violins, but I don't know what it's sold for.
But he actually made that airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, now, what about there was a Batman around here? They called you the Batman, I realize.
They called me the Batman.
But some of these guys came out with uniforms with wings on them, and then they pulled the chute.
I had the same thing. I had
a
suit like this, and it stretched from your leg up to your outer hand.
Okay.
Like that.
All right.
And you could actually make a 45-degree glide with it. You hold it up, but I had zippers on it, so that the wind was too strong for me to peel my arms back. I couldn't get to my ring.
Uh-huh.
So I had to have a zipper on each arm.
Now, this is after you put the pack on your back.
No. Well, yeah.
Okay.
And then they come out to it. You didn't have to carry two chutes. Then when they come out with two chutes, you couldn't do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
But the original Batman was Clem Sohn, S-O-H-N, from Lansing, Michigan. He made the first worldwide Batwing. He traveled all over Europe doing it, too.
Uh-huh.
And I copied him.
You did?
Well, I'll do what I could of it.
Sure.
What you get.
Yeah. You made your own uniform.
Oh, yeah. I made my own. Just hooked up. It looks good, you know.
Sure. But you actually could do a little maneuvering in it.
Oh, yeah. Damn little.
Yeah, I still see.
You're coming down fast. But you could, I jumped, I fell over 2 miles. Because I fell
12,000 feet.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you, before you finally opened the chute.
Yeah, the pop the chute, and the chute opened right where you were.
That's got to take nerve, though.
No. Oh, your heart took a couple of beats when you first left the airplane.
Uh-huh.
But after that, it's just like the kids today, hell, they're going out and jumping for fun, you know.
Well, I know it, but to fall that far.
Well, it doesn't make it much difference, you know. You just got to be damn sure your eyes don't fool you.
Yeah.
And the ground's closer than you think it is.
Uh-huh.
That can happen to you in an airplane.
Yeah, true.
You know.
Right.
If you don't look at your altimeter. Or
that's right.
Something like that.
Now, did you carry an altimeter?
No.
No. Then it was all, no. Just all visual. And
all visual. Yeah.
And you never had an accident.
Oh, yeah. I had a chute refused to open. I had, see, you've heard of triple jumps. Triple chutes. So you jump into one chute, then you cut loose from that one, jump into another one, then cut loose from that and jump into another one. Well, the two top chutes are 10-footers. You can't tell that from the ground. Mm-hmm. They're 10-footers. You cut into that, and you cut into this, and then you cut into the what we call a ground chute. That's 28-foot from you. So I jump into the way go. And I reached up and cut loose from the first chute. I reached up to cut the second one and broke the damn knife off. And some other way, I hit in the river, and I set my toes on a log 2 feet underwater and twisted up the feet. It's the only time I had trouble. Oh, I got those bumps.
Now, tell me, in other words, that was a dead fall. And from how far up?
Oh, about 1,800, 2,000. It wasn't a dead fall. See, that 10-foot chute was open.
Uh-huh.
But that's not enough to bring that. No, not that. Besides the ground chute I had on, I had my, the one that wouldn't open.
Yeah.
And that all come down, and it's right over your head here.
Yeah.
So the only thing I was interested in is keeping that off my head when I hit. You know, I knew I was going to hit the roof.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that log to be on. That's only a serious problem.
Didn't break anything.
No, I'm screwed up my feet pretty good.
Yeah.
For a while. And that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Then, well, it was another time. I made a jump in Loudonville, Ohio. And I can't explain this. But I jumped from a plane. And the town was down here, and there was a hill here. And I was jumping up over here. So there was a riser across the top of my chute, keeping it from popping open, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was going in. So I was looking at a warehouse, an Apple warehouse. And I wondered if I'd go between the 2x6s or through them, because I knew damn well I was going in.
Uh-huh.
And while I was looking down, all of a sudden there was a snap and that chute opened. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah.
Can't explain.
Now, you had pulled the cord. This is a rip cord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Backpack chute.
Backpack.
And it just didn't open.
It opened, but the one riser wrong back across the top.
I see.
Instead of wrong where it should have been.
I see.
So it was holding the chute closed.
Yeah.
Partly closed.
And there's no way you can reach back there.
Well, I could have straightened it out here, but that wouldn't take it across the top of a 28-foot fat canopy, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I was fun game. I had to laugh, though. The people down here couldn't see that chute had opened.
Uh-huh.
Because it opened damn close to the ground.
Uh-huh.
So half the town come rushing up there, the fire department and everything. So I stand alongside the fence, smoking a cigarette. Oh, what the hell?
You're the town hero.
Yeah.
They expect to see a grease spot out there.
I went back to the hotel and laid down on the bed and I was shaking like a leaf. I wasn't nervous at all up until I laid down on that bed.
Wow.
Because,
but you went up again.
What? That was, we used to have a joke. I used to jump with Bud Clark. And when you fold your chute, we used to put apples and papers and twigs and crap in the folds. Well, when the chute popped open, geez, you got all this stuff down on your head, raining all over you, know.
How many jumps did you make, you estimate?
I never really kept track of it. My guess is that I talked to a couple of people about it, too. It was around 600. About 12 years ago.
Yeah.
We were jumping, in fairs. We take a fair that runs a week, we jump every day. You know, 7 days.
Yeah.
6 days, whatever. But other than that, like...
Yeah, you see that thing is sitting in. There's a little microphone right there.
Oh!
It'll probably catch it then.
Oh.
Tell me about the airport, the old airport. You flew out of the airport.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I lost two chutes when those planes burned up. They were in the plane. We come in at night, and there were no lights, you know, but we come in late. But it was just dust. So we just put the airplane away and left everything as it was and took off, and Johnny Johnson and I. And then they called us up about 3 in the morning and called Johnny and told him that the plane burned up. And Lily Blad from the toaster company,
yeah,
to be a
AP
pilot.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He lost a plane, and Ducky lost a ship, and we lost that ship and the chutes. And there were two other planes, and I don't know who they belonged to. I didn't know they were named. Or if I did, I didn't remember.
Yeah.
That used to be just a field, you know. They really didn't have runways on it.
Yeah, right.
It was just a field, but it was all tail skids, you know. You didn't have any brakes on either. You know, you had to get your tail down damn quick in order to get a hook in it, you know.
Is that really what that tail skid was for, to stop you?
Just to stop you.
Some
of them were even curved.
Yeah.
You know, so they'd, you just get the tail down hard and slow you right on down.
Uh-huh.
Or even ground loop when you're getting too close to the end. Then you did deliberate ground.
How would you do that?
Just hit the rudder and slam the aileron over.
Okay.
And goose it with a motor if you have to blast it, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Get it around.
There were no runways, as you say, but they were mowed.
The whole field was mowed.
Yeah.
There was, I don't remember an actual runway. That's been a long time ago. And I know we came in usually just off the power lines in towards the sand dune, you know, the saggy, they call it.
Yep.
Well, we used to come in that way.
Because the winds were out of the west, southwest.
West, southwest, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we could.
Yeah.
Been a long time ago.
And you had just the windsock, that's all you had.
That's all we had. No radio, no communication.
Uh-huh.
And then they built Muskegon. Before they built Grand Haven, they built Muskegon County Airport.
Uh-huh.
And that was in the 30s.
Uh-huh.
And they started having the airlines right away. In fact, Johnny Johnson, the fellow that I started jumping with and flying with, he was the first manager, him and Jim Kukla. And they were the first managers of Grant at Muskegon.
Uh-huh.
Johnny got, during the winter months, he got caught in a piece of machinery working for Norge. I don't think it was Norge, it was some other refrigerator deal then. Anyhow, he got caught and screwed up his hand, and he didn't fly anymore. And Jim Kukla was flying in the south and got picked up for flying drugs. And I don't know what happened to him. I didn't hear about him anymore. I mean, they were the first two managers of Muskegon.
Yeah, that's back when the terminal was on the far side. I can remember it over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The
north side of the field.
Then before Muskegon County came in, the old Muskegon Airport was out back of Continental. And they used to put on air shows and stuff there. I jumped there. You know where the Continental building is?
I know where it is, but I can't picture it.
You know where the Continental building is on Getty Avenue?
Yeah.
On the back of that, where they got the test tracks and stuff.
Okay.
The building was
open. Okay. And the highway runs right past it.
The highway runs right past it.
Okay. Yeah. I know where you're
And then you turn just after you go past
sure.
the
building. Sure. Yeah.
That's the old Muskegon Airport.
I'll be there.
In fact, our number one maintenance hangar out here came from the old Muskegon County Airport. Transferred here. I recognize the damn thing since they got it here.
Moved it down here.
Yeah. Took it down, put it together up here.
Jeez. So you flew out of this old airport many times.
Mm-hmm. We used to make runs out of there, you know. We'd go out to a town, take the car, go out to a town, advertise it. We were going to fly passengers Sunday. Some certain Sunday, you know, give them a date and everything.
This all on a... You were dragging or throw
it? No. We drive into a town and put it in the local paper.
I see. Okay.
And then tell them we're going to be at such and so's farm. And there's going to be a parachute drop and flying passengers. So, to get everything started, why, I'd usually make a jump. And then I'd wrap up my suit, throw it in the corner someplace, and we got ready, and I'd sell tickets for the rides. And then we got all through, well, throw the chutes in the plane and take off for home.
Well, this now, would this be not just around here necessarily? It could be anywhere. Indiana, Illinois?
Oh, hell, we were in Indiana and Wisconsin and all over hell.
Huh.
Illinois. Yeah, we traveled with the balloons that way, too.
That was a perfect... That area is perfect for that sort of thing because everything was flat. There were a lot of fields that were available.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of fields. There was... Well, I was raised in Dayton, and I used to go out to what they call McCook Field. And then there was the Dayton Field. And the two are now combined, and they're Patterson Field.
Wright Patterson. Or is it just Patterson?
Wright Patterson.
Yeah.
And you got a big museum now?
Yeah, I've seen that. Have you seen it?
No, I've never been. Never been. I've flown over it a lot, but I've never been back there. No, I was in the Boy Scouts. I got a picture of it in the Boy Scouts there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your roots are a lot of flying went on in Dayton.
Oh, hell yeah. I remember the bombers, and I remember the dirigibles, Shenandoah, Midland, and the one that crashed down the lake first.
Hindenburg?
That was the von Hindenburg, yeah.
Yeah. Is that the one you were referring to?
No, the Shenandoah.
Shenandoah, okay.
Shenandoah, and there was a couple.
Of course, that's right. I remember reading about that.
Yeah. There was a couple others in there, too. I don't know whether they ever made it to the United States or not, but I'm telling you, when they come over in the air, you can't imagine how huge they were. It's just like an enormous cloud coming by, you know?
Yeah.
And that was quite a shake-up when the Hindenburg went in down the Lake Hurst.
Yeah. Well, they had pylon racing there at Dayton, too, didn't they?
No, that was Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay.
That was Cleveland. Yeah, they... this guy from Chris. He built boats.
Oh, Chris Pratt. Chris Smith.
Chris Smith.
Uh-huh.
Well, he had a guy flying for him, and I don't remember the name now. That flew in the air races there. Well, that was open course racing then. It was 3 miles one way and 3 miles back, 3 miles back. There, a triangle all around the fields and stuff. Well, this guy of Chris's, he put a 51 into a house, and he took down two houses and killed about six people. And he burned up himself.
B-51s.
Yeah. And then they barred all racing, closed course racing then in Cleveland. But they allowed on the field racing, you know, the light planes then come along, you know, Roberts has got now that.
Right.
Is
that an Eagle?
Christian Eagle, yeah.
Right.
And a lot of planes like that. Then they had closed course racing or on the field racing, mm-hmm. pylons on the field.
Yeah.
But they no more open racing. The only way you can do it now is out in what's a gambling place up in the mountains?
Oh, Las Vegas, Reno.
Reno.
Yeah. And there's a lot of wide open space there.
Oh yeah.
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 Well, you remember when they moved the airport over to here then? Over to the... Where are we? Out?
No. I was involved with it. With Steve Mead, J.B. Sims, Holsinger. I don't remember the other two guys.
Ted Bolt was involved some.
Well, Ted went around and... he bought up the property, you know, subject to the approval, I suppose, of somebody. But anyway, he's the one that that old house that sat there for so long, across the field from the main office. That house that sat up there before the property became, before this deal went through on the building, you know, commercial building.
Okay. Oh, yes, all right.
Remember that old building? Well, it was an old farm. I can't remember her name now, but... She was 90-some years old, and he bought the building for her, from her, paid cash for her, and gave her a life lease on. And she died here about when Brewer took over for about 6-8 years.
Good heavens, she was still living.
She was still living, and then she died, and so the house reverted to the bank, mm-hmm. or to the city. That's the way it was laid out.
Yeah.
And... So the fire department went out there when they first got their ladders and stuff, you know. They went out there and they touched it off. Set it afire.
For a trial.
And then they put it out. Then they set it afire again. Put it out. They did it about 3-4 times. So we sat there in the airport watching them. And they go through there until it burned down, you know. That's the way they got rid of it. Kind of fire.
But you, it was moved over here when? Well, here, that was 48, is that?
Well, it was before this.
Yeah.
It was no longer there. I don't know when the tanks went in. I really don't. This was 40...
Yeah, when... 46?
Yeah, I
think
it was 46.
So that's just before the runways went in over here.
Yeah. Boy, that was a sickening deal. You know... I had the store downtown then,
yeah.
The Westinghouse. And we heard over radio than ever before. Just about the time television come on. There's going to be a hell of a windstorm, you know, possible severe weather. So I went out, and I bought all new half-inch ropes. And I tied the wings down to two fence posts. I put the tail up on a barrel to get out of flying position, you know. Put it up, and I tied it down tight to that barrel, to the ground, staking around. I went out there the next morning, and one of those posts was rotten that far underground. And she just pulled that up like that and beat it. Beat it to hell.
Old J3.
My first airplane.
Yeah. Still a lot of fun to fly, even
oh,
today.
Hell yes. Yeah. In fact, I flew one here, I don't know, last year or the year before.
Did you really?
Yeah, and it was just as damn natural as climbing in a car I had for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you solo it?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Sure. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had about 15, 20 airplanes, maybe.
Yeah.
I had one here, a Fairchild 24, that Sims used to fly a lot.
The only Fairchild I remember was a biplane. This Fairchild was not.
No, this is a single plane, single...
Single wing.
Single wing.
Low wing?
No, high wing.
Okay.
Fairchild. Plus inside. Just like you're inside of your car today.
Oh, really?
You crack down windows and old ball wax, you know. Excuse me, just a
yeah, listen, I don't want to take any of your time.
No,
more of your time.